Blog Talk Radio.
Can tell I'm out of the garage today. I actually can do this show right from my studio. So I want to say hello to everyone out there. Hi, I'm Bonnie Albers on air, and I love you. So I'm so happy that you're all with me. Hi, Ron.
Well, hi, Bonnie. Hello, everybody.
I am so excited, Ron, today. I actually can feel the air around me because the garage is awful hot. But I do want to tell everybody what a show we have. We've got Kelly Coulter on the second hour. And the first hour, you know we rock astrology. So I am so excited, Ron, because something happened in those skies yesterday that I am thrilled about. But first, let me introduce you. Everybody, this is Ron Cole. He is our famous astrologist. He rocks astrology from one side to the other. There isn't anything Ron doesn't know or can't answer, which is the next part of what I'm going to tell you. You can get a reading from Ron Cole. What you get here is a sample. So his half an hour that he gets to show you what he does is really one-eighth of what you're going to get when you actually get a reading from Ron. And you can get a hold of Ron. Ron, I'm going to tell them how to get a hold of you because I'm so excited to talk to everybody from, like, the air conditioning. I'm not going to shut up. Anyway, they can get a hold of you, Ron, at livingastro@aol.com. Just give him a little email, a heads up, I want a reading, and Ron will get back to you with another email. He's also like me on Facebook. So he's Ron Cole, and you can go in and look him up on Facebook. You can do the same for me. I'm Bonnie Mosenter-Albers, and I am on Facebook. So just give me a holler, and I will friend you, and you can see where all of our shows are going. I absolutely would love you to like us on Blog Talk. We have archives you can listen to if you are on and you want to hear the reading again, or you want somebody else to listen to it, or you actually want to hear it again, which I would be so happy. So if you can just like us on Blog Talk, more followers, you'll hear about our shows. And I want to tell you that today we have a really interesting show with Ron. Last week, he read for a girl named Janie, and her husband is on today, so he's going to be on around 1:20, 1:25, and his name is Matt. And Ron, what we really wanted to show in this reading is that you do have couples, in fact, I can name you some, that come in and you do the husband, the wife, and then a compatibility chart, boyfriend, girlfriend, even kids. So we're kind of given that wife, husband this week, and next week we're going to do their compatibility and karmically if they're linked. So isn't that so cool, Ron?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Now, you know, I've taken up all your airtime. Please tell everybody what you do and how to reach you again and what you offer them.
Well, you can all reach me at livingastro@aol.com. That's LIVING. ASTRO@AOL.com. And in order to have a reading, you must provide me with your city of birth, your month, day, and year of birth date, and your correct time of birth. In fact, Bonnie, I want to mention why that information is needed, because if anyone is going to have any work done by an astrologer, they must have that coordinating bit of information provided to the astrologer. In other words, people ask me all the time, well, I'm born sometime in the afternoon, my mom told me so, let's say 3 o'clock. And I'll say, well, that won't work because you could be setting up the chart for someone else. We need your exact time of birth, and if we don't have it, we won't be able to get a correct reading. And the chart that will be read will be incorrect. You'll be reading the chart literally for someone else's birth, because the time is wrong.
I think that's so incredible, because I think what people don't know, Ron, is every second, actually it's every minute, I think, but it could be every second, counts when you've picked who you're going to be. And that, well, I always call it a blueprint. Well, you can't have a blueprint without the exact information, because if you do, it's not your blueprint. It's somebody else's. And I love that you are so accurate, Ron, because then I don't have to say, Ron read Cancer for me and I'm this. Well, so will 100 billion other Cancers. And that's what I think Ron's, you know, message is to us, that especially if you want a reading, a private reading, and what he does here, you know, in the second half of the show, is he takes a snippet of your life. It's like a roadmap you came down with, don't you think, Ron?
Yes, it is exactly that. In fact, I call it that, Bonnie. It is the roadmap that you're working with in this lifetime, the grid system that is your energy evolving pattern as you go through the years and timing of this life. It starts at first, ends at last breath. And so what happens is we don't have an astrology chart when we're not in a physical body, in a physical world, but we do while we're here. And so The reason why we have to have the correct timing is we have to have the exact planet in the exact houses, in the exact alignments, in the exact correct house cusp. And the information given on birth certificates inevitably seem to be correct, because I have relied on that from people giving me that information for decades now, and we have had correct readings. When someone gives me a time and then I'm doing the reading and nothing's right, that's not right, that didn't happen, that's not occurring, then we know we have the wrong time of birth. And in the cases that I've had that, people said, well, gee, I was born sometime in the middle of the night, my mother said, so I gave you 3 o'clock a.m. because I didn't know the time. Well, we were wasting our time then. We weren't even reading the person's chart. This is why you must have this information, the exact mapping of where the planets are and what alignment they are in and what aspects or angles they are to each other and in what placements of the sky constitute the birth chart. And this is why an astrologer differs from a psychic. Astrologer actually has to have the calculated, completed chart in front of them to read or give a reading to a person, where an intuitive person can either use cards or use any other types of techniques. So it does make one bit of disadvantage. You've got to have the chart set up in advance. You've got to be pre-provided with their birth data, and then the reading could go about. And this is why you don't get astrologers on radio shows giving you answers right away, because unless they're a psychic astrologer and then they're using their psychic side. But that is not always the case.
Yeah, well, you know
what,
Ron? Well, you know what, though? I don't want you to give people, like, you know, I want to tell you, because Ron is one of the best. He actually titrated my chart. Remember, Ron, because I wasn't sure, I was 3 minutes off, and you titrated it. It's a lot of work, and you have to, you know, but you took a lot of my other dates, and you titrated them to exactly, and you're the one that said I was 3 minutes off. Do you remember?
Yes, I kind of vaguely do. It's been quite a while since I did that first reading with you, but yes, I kind of remember that.
And the thing is that there is a way, because there's some people, you know, my girlfriend's adopted, and she said to me that she doesn't even have a birth chart, that they have it, but they sealed it up. And she doesn't even know her birth time to even tell you, like, a roundabout. My dad knew a roundabout what I was. So my dad was off about 3 minutes. Is there a way, and I want people to understand, I know it's really a time-consuming thing, but if you have an idea and you say, well, I think I was born at, like I said, 5:55 a.m. or p.m., I can't even remember now, and you said, no, really, you were born at 5:51, because you took all the dates that I gave you and you titrated them. Can you do that for people that are that close but aren't sure?
Well, it worked because you had a starting that was pretty much right there. And what we did is we looked at dates of events that have already happened in your life. Let's say a date of a move, the date of the entry into a new job, the date of marriage, the date of birth of a child, etc. And when you have pre-provided dates of events that have already happened, you can go back and see what was activating that in the birth chart, what areas of the chart was being triggered. And by doing that, I was able to adjust your time by 4 minutes, the exact chart. Now, if someone has no idea within a 24-hour period when they're born, it's not going to really work, because you're just stabbing in the dark to try to get a coordinating pattern to come together. So that's why astrology is kind of a really intense science. If anyone wants to become an astrologer, you will frequently run into the situation in which people will know their location of birth and birth date, but they won't have any idea when they're born, and then literally that stops you from doing a reading for them when they don't have any idea. The other thing is...
Go ahead. What about people who are adopted who don't have their birth chart? How would they find out the time? That's what somebody asked me, and that's why my girlfriend... You know, she was adopted, her and her husband both adopted. It's interesting, and they've gotten, and she's metaphysical, but she doesn't admit it. But, you know, I wonder how they get a reading, or they just can't.
They basically can't. We've even tried it where psychics were tuned into them and gave the time of their birth as they picked up on their energy and that, but other times it did not. People will say, well, it's not on my birth certificate, but then you will often find it in family Bibles, or you will have family members that have remarkable memories, because that is a major event in people's lives when a new baby is coming in, and they specifically remember when the blessed event happened, the birth event happened, and it is from many times family members that they will mention, it happened right at this time, and when you work with that time, you'll find, yes, they were right on. You got the correct time, and the charts work. Working.
Wow.
We know within the first half an hour, not even that, within the first 15 minutes of a reading, if we have a correct time or not, because everything's not going to be right. You're going to be saying things that the chart is telling you, and the person will not have that happen. The person will not be doing that kind of career, married to that type of person, married at the time they did, have the kind of life cycles that they were supposed to have according to that chart. When none of that is working, we know that we're dealing with the wrong time and the chart was set up for the wrong time.
Wow. Well, listen, before we start, because, oh my goodness, everything, like, I don't swear, but okay. Mercury, maybe I'm just going to curse. Mercury really hit me hard at the end. I mean, I had my son come home, my daughter have practically a breakdown for this test. Everything stopped as of yesterday. I mean, as far as all that stuff. And today, I'm like thinking to myself, what happened? Is Mercury direct yet? And is there a couple days that we have to watch for that it actually starts to pick up speed?
Can now unequivocally say that Mercury has stopped retrograding. It did this yesterday. It made the transition on July 1st to be a direct or forward-moving planet after being retrograde for rather a long time, for virtually most of all of June, except the first few days. And a lot of people have been telling me that this past Mercury retrograde was very hard for them, was very challenging for them, or had a lot of unexpected, unpleasant events for them. But we are out of that cycle now. And the next Mercury retrograde, and I'll give you the next two just in case you might want to remember this, people. On October 4th, that's the next date, Mercury will turn retrograde, and then it will go from October 4th to October 25th of 2014, and that's the last one of this year. And then the next Mercury retrograde beyond that will be January 21st, 2015 to February 11th. And so it normally retrogrades about 3 weeks, and when you look at these timings, you'll see that they're just about 3 weeks. And then you go about 3 months until the next retrograde starts.
Well, you know what? I'm done, Ron. I'm done with the retrogrades, okay? Let everything go direct, please, and let's have a happy sky day and year. I mean, do they have to go retrograde?
Well, they do, because they're moving around the sun, meaning those planets, let's say Mercury, is moving around the sun. We are moving around the sun, and we get into certain figurative alignments with a planet in which, from our movement around the sun, from our looking out into outer space and seeing that planet, it will literally appear to stop in its forward motion and back up and go backwards like a car who has been driving, stops, puts it in reverse, backs up over the area it had just driven. And then it will reach a point where it will stop backing up, and that's called direct. It means the planet.
That's when it hits the wall. That's when it stops.
And then it moves forward again, and Mercury will be moving forward for the next 3 months plus. But it is the most frequent retrograding planetary body in our solar system. Planets like Venus and Mars only retrograde about once every 2 years. And the further from the sun, the longer the retrogrades last. Like Pluto takes 5.5 months out of each year in which it is retrograde. So it's almost a 50-50 divide with that planet. It's like half of the year it's direct, half of the year it's retrograde. But the one that seems to affect human beings the most is mercury, because there's now scientific research showing that mercury does have a connection to the human brain. And what happens is when it is retrograding, its energy is altered. It is not sending or connecting in that same mental harmonic way, and therefore it makes things kind of go crazy. People forget things, people get mixed up, people miscommunicate their speaking, and it creates weird ripple effects in the world. But we don't have to worry about this now till after the beginning part of October, and then it will be ending before Halloween.
Well, can you tell me, Ron, and I just want to say hello to Matt because he's on, you know, I know guys, and they don't know if they're on or they're off. Matt, we got a few more minutes, and then we'll be picking you up. But, you know, and I hope you enjoy astrology as much as we do. But, Ron, can you tell me when planets go retrograde, and this might be something you and I want to discuss, like, next time we're on, because I know there's a reason, like, people go, Mercury's retrograde, forget anything electronic and everything goes fluky. But there's a reason that Pluto is retrograde for 5 months and Neptune goes retrograde for a long time. You know, there's something inherent about those planets that affect you, I think, that want you to look at a certain area of your life. Am I right?
Well, it even gets deeper than that, Bonnie, and more. Current research within the last 30 to 40 years has shown that retrogrades are related to karmic energy patterns. Retrogrades literally mean repeating. And if you have a planet retrograde in your birth chart, now we live through retrogrades like this Mercury, but if you're born with a planet who is retrograding, you are working on a repeating of certain energies, characteristics, and manifestations of what that planet rules in the life. Now, I'll give you an example. Venus is the planet of relationships, love, dating, romance, and marriage. If one is born with a retrograde Venus, then every single person they will date, fall in love with, or i.e. marry, will be not a new soul to them, but someone they had had a previous relationship with in a past life or previous interconnection with in a past life. They are repeating that pattern of relationships, but why? They're not meaning to repeat it in the exact same way. They're repeating it so that that relationship will evolve or work out trouble that they had before or even get more connected. So retrogrades involve repeating energies. Someone born with a Mercury retrograde may have been a teacher, may have been a good orator, may have been a good communicator or a great researcher with deep knowledge in a past life. And they pick up the ball again in today's modern world in some form of research, in some form of connected work with the power of the mind and the human intelligence. So
Wow. That's
what retrograde means. It means literally repeat. Excuse me, I've got another phone ringing, and I'm not going to let that bother. I'll shut that off. Okay.
Repeat. Repeat that. We have to repeat that phone call now.
This phone's not being off. That one is.
But I have to tell you, I really want to delve into that. Maybe we could look and do a show, and it's probably several shows, on retrograding planets and what they actually want you to work on in your and like, I love that. I'll tell you who has that retrograde in her chart. I am sure of it. And I know you did her chart, was Susan. Every single solitary relationship she's ever had is working off karma with them. So I would really love to see. I don't know if you keep it, and I'll ask Susan because I know the reading Susan kept. But I think she has to have Mercury retrograding in her chart to have hit so many karmic loves here working them off. It's kind of like crazy. Venus retrograde. So it's kind of crazy.
I do want to mention one thing. When planets go retrograde, they stay retrograde for various lengths of time. Like Mars is a long retrograder. It stays retrograding 2.5 months. And I want to tell everybody, Mars is finally going to get out of Libra. So for you Libra people out there, you have had Mars, the irritant, frictional, the war-like planet in your sign for so long, it's been ridiculous. Mars first enters Libra December 8, 2013. And on July 26th, it's finally going to move on into another sign. That means you folks have had that planet in your sign for almost 8 months. And that has been driving Libra people up the wall, half crazy, because the longer Mars is in your sign, the more frictional or antagonistic, confrontational, or stressed-out energy you tend to encounter. At least that's what I've observed. That's not necessarily written in the books, but I've observed that. And now it is no longer retrograding. That's been over since May. But it is moving onward, but still not out of Libra yet. But you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, because since last year, literally in December, it has not left the sign of Libra, the sign of its detriment, the sign that is the worst place in, and it is time for Mars to move on and get into Scorpio and beyond.
Well, I think that's fabulous, because Susan is a Libra, and she's been hit pretty hard for the last, I can't even tell you how long. So now at least I can get
Susan to December and think what's been happening with Mars's presence in Libra. And the same for all you Libras out there. Think what's been happening in your life. See what your life was like before, let's say, Thanksgiving. We'll use that as an arbitrary thing in late November. And then look at what it's been like since December onward, and you'll see that it's been quite different. And one more comment about planets. You know, you and I have been sharing Jupiter going through Cancer, because we're both Cancers, Bonnie. But on July 15th, 2014, Jupiter is going to leave Cancer and go into Leo. So Cancer people are going to start to have the opportunity to lose weight, and it will actually go off.
Oh, thank gosh. Thank gosh.
But I want you Leo people to be aware that from this July to August of 2015, Jupiter's going to be in Leo, and you have to be careful of your weight. It does many good things for you, but it does tend to increase around the middle. So Cancer people out there, be aware you can now have your ability to take off weight much easier. I know Cancerians who have done all kinds of diets and exercises, and the weight just wasn't staying off. In fact, it was growing, getting larger.
Yeah, because I go to the gym, and I have to pick Matt up because I know he's at work. And Matt, I'm going to pick you up in exactly 1 second, but I've got to tell you something. Well, maybe 1 minute, Matt. I do have to tell you that I have been at the gym. You know me. I'm a gym buff. I have not felt like going to the gym, and no matter what I do, it seems like I can't get those last, you know, I had gained weight from being in New York, and I mean, I just can't get them off. No gym, no nothing, and I can't wait until the end of July because I'm ready for this extra 10 pounds to go.
Well, from July 15th on, Cancerians, you can start your diet that day or any day beyond that, and
Yay!
You're going to start seeing it work this time for the first time in a year.
I love it. And then they go into Leo, and that expands your money. And we'll talk about that another time because I've got to bring Matt on. I'm going to bring Matt on now for you, and I want you to meet Matt because he is the greatest guy. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Bonnie. How are you?
I am so great. You know, you're a really sweet guy, and I don't mean that. You know, you're just a nice, nice soul, and I love you so much. You're married to Janie, who I want everybody to know had her reading last week. And Matt and Janie have been together, Ron. Ron, this is Matt. Matt, this is Ron.
Hey, Ron. How are you?
Hi. Pleasure to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you.
I just want to tell you real quick, they've been together since high school. So I'm not going to say another word, but I wanted everybody to see Matt that because Ron is so good that I don't think they see the culmination of everything he does. So we did Janie last week. We're going to do you this week. And then next week, we're doing your combined chart. So everybody can see what people do also go to Ron for. So I love you, Matt. I can't wait to hear all about you. Go ahead, Ron. Go for it.
Well, Matt, I do have your chart pre-set up, and it's in front of me right now. And one of the things that impressed me, perhaps the most major thing, was from the time you gave me and the time the chart is set up for, the sun was exactly on the top of the sky directly overhead in your birth city. If at the moment you took your first breath, someone would literally be pointing straight directly up, that's where the sun would have been. Now, that is very interesting because in an astrology chart, that can only happen for a period of 4 minutes each day, and you were born in that range of that 4 minutes. Now, why is that important? It sounds nice. It's great to have the sun directly overhead, yes, but the sun is sitting, therefore, on the very beginning of the area of the chart that deals with work, job, career, and business, because the point straight overhead, we nickname it the mid-heaven, the middle of the heaven, halfway between the eastern and the western sky, that's the point that begins and starts the area of work. And this area of your chart is very occupied with planets. There in Gemini, you have Mercury there in Gemini, you have Jupiter there in Cancer, you have Venus there in Cancer. There isn't one other part of your chart that has even two planets in one particular household. And this one, we call these sectioned houses, this one happens to have four. And that means in this lifetime, coming in as Matt, you are really meant to, destined to be in the direction of work, empowerment, rising to positions of power, rising to positions of authority, handling authority, being in a position that you have a number of authoritative decisions and people or situations under you. The sun is connected to handling power. It's connected to leadership. It's connected to CEOs, and it's connected to administrators, and it's connected to people in power, and it is sitting right on the beginning of your career house. You are evolved or advanced in this lifetime to be handling power. Now, why an occupied 10th house? That means job is very important in this life, work, career, business. You've got the sign of Gemini, sign you're born under, sitting at the beginning of this house. And two out of these four placements are in Gemini. And that means either the old expression, wearing more than one hat in your job, such as having this responsibility and this other one, or handling this and handling that, or many times it indicates working more than one job, more than actually one physical work or job. I gave a chart reading years ago to a doctor who had something similar to you. And in the day, of course, he worked at his medical practice as a doctor, but once the office was closed in the evening, he stayed behind and he did all of the accounting, the ledger entry, the collection of all of the checks and things, and this is, of course, before more electronic data today, the checks and things that were going into the bank the next day and made the bank entries. So he actually did two types of work within the one overview of his job, and this is kind of the chart that you have. You can do two or more phases of work. You are a Gemini, and at the time of your birth, Virgo, coming up over the eastern edge of the Earth, the astrological sign of Virgo. That means if you would take the eastern sky and eastern Earth where they would meet and extend that point out to outer space, it would be pointing in the direction of the sign of Virgo. And this means that not only are you a thinker, but you are a very detailed thinker. Gemini is the sign connected with thinking, ideas, communication, concepts, words, even inventive concepts and words, breakthrough ideas. But it is not necessarily, as a sign, a detailed sign. Geminis don't always get that detailed. They get more conceptual, one idea to the next, one link to the next, one thing that connects with something else. But with Virgo rising, this gives you details. You not only connect from idea to idea, you see the little subtle factors that go right over the head of most people. When you think through something, you think through it in a very detailed, analytical way. You look at it from the extreme foundation, primary basis on up. And that's what's one of the highest qualities about your chart. You have the mind with the detailed and analytical side that you don't see in Gemini, and so you can not only think something through, you think it through thoroughly. So it is very connected, very advanced. Mercury is the planet of communication. It's the planet that deals with selling, teaching, writing, lecturing, counseling, any form of counseling, psychological counseling, psychic counseling, any form of dealing with words and ideas between one person and another, including writing and teaching. And you've got that in your career house also. If you have a talent there in any of those adjacent fields. You've got Jupiter there, so you could travel for your job, or you could get into a company that can grow very, very, very large, very big, and can grow from one area through other areas across the country, internationally, even into other countries. Jupiter is the planet of long-distance expansion, even foreign expansion. And then you've got Venus there, and that means you've got a great talent with Daytona. You can work arguing sides, confused issues, and saying, wait a minute, let's weigh and balance this out. Because Venus rules the scales, the signs of Libra, the signs of weighing and balancing. So it is the arbitrator, it's the ambassador, it's the let's stop fighting or getting into all of this, calm down, and let's think this through factor versus factor. And you've got that in your career house, too. Now, I know you're a Gemini, and you have Sun and Mercury there, but you actually have more planets in Cancer than any other sign of the zodiac. You have Jupiter in Cancer, Venus in Cancer, and Uranus in Cancer. Now, that's a very tenacious sign. It's a sign symbolized by a crab, and the crab is tenacious. When its claw holds on to something, it doesn't let go or let go easily. And this explains why, Matt, you're very connected with a relationship and marriage, why your heart song love from your childhood, I don't want to say childhood, high school, but they're in your life and the marriage and the staying together of the marriage, because people who have a lot of Cancerian planets in their chart, when they marry for life. They marry connected to that partner, and they don't give up. If there's problems, they work out the problems. If there's difficulties, they go through them like a choppy, wavy ocean. They get through it till it calms down. And that's not true for Geminis. Go talk to many Geminis, go read it in astrology books. They tend to have more than one marriage. They tend to have multiple things in their life, more than one car, more than one place to live. There's that sense of multiplicity that kind of undercurrents their life. But you've got all that Cancerian placement, Jupiter, Venus, Uranus, and that's keeping you tenaciously connected. And interestingly enough, the spouse is a Cancer, the sign that you've got the most number of planets in. Now, one of the things you've advanced away from in life is getting better and better in the area of worrying. With Virgo rising, there was a tendency to be a lot of a worrier. That's kind of a clumsy sentence, a bit of a worrier when you were growing up. You were motivated by a sense of perfection, and if something wasn't done well or if it wasn't done thoroughly, if it didn't have enough time put into it, you would worry. Or you sometimes would fret over things, but you've gotten through that very well. If that happens, it happens in a much more watered-down, less frequent state than it did at one time. But people with Virgo rising, not only are they highly detailed and thorough in things, do have that little creeping factor of being a worrier about things, worrying about this happening, worrying how that will turn out, worrying that it wasn't done well enough. But like I said, that's now become more and more evolved part of the past. Your moon was in Taurus, and since the moon moves faster than the sun, and Taurus is the sign right before Gemini, the moon was in its speedy process to soon line up with the sun. About 4 days after your birth would have been the new moon. The sun and moon would have been together in Gemini. So the moon was in its last phase, the balsamic phase, the last phase before it lines up with the sun. And that means they're either in signs right before the sun or even in the same sun but very close to it. And a Taurus moon is really good, really good with money.
This
is really good for finances. This is really good with knowing monetary directives, investments, advice with investments, monetary handling, personal investments, because that is a fiscal and financially directed kind of energy. It is also an extremely good place, Matt, for the moon to be in. It's second best sign for it to be placed in. Cancer is its best sign, and Taurus, where your moon is the second best. It's very much at home there. The reason why a Taurus moon is good, it tends strongly with the home, and it and the home life and the family and the spouse, and it tends to stay connected more in a relationship, more directed than other signs, which are more prone to change. The moon deals with your emotion, and it also deals with your mother and your mother's family and the lineage and inheritance from your mother's side of the family. A lot of members of your mother's family, even down through your mother, could be very stubborn. They could have very strong sense of strong like, strong opinion, strong this, strong that, and not easily changed. They also could be people who could be very wise in money and work. There could be musical aptitude that runs in your mother's side of the family. There could be people that know how to play musical instruments or have nice singing voices. Or there also could be creative ability to know how to decorate and bring color into a house or an environment. But this is a sign that is very much connected to physical creature comforts, like plushy sofas and satin sheets and things that are very sensual and sensitive against the skin. And so a lot of members of your mother's family could have had these issues. Taurus in the field of astrology rules the throat, the neck, and the ears. And these would be areas that members of your mother's family, including your mother, could have health problems with. Issues, perhaps acid reflux or GERD, or issues with the throat in other ways. Hearing loss, maybe hearing loss more in one ear than another. Neck, throat, neck, shoulder connection, pain in those areas of the neck vertebrae. Now your son, S-U-N, son indicates your father and his side of the family, and this is in Gemini. And this will indicate that a lot of members of your father's family were very smart people. They were born with some really cute IQs in that side of the family. Another interesting factor with Gemini is it doesn't always show its age. It tends to look younger than its actual age is. It's always, I call it the Peter Pan sign. It doesn't grow old visually.
And he looks like Peter Pan. He does.
Well, some members of your father's family, including your father himself, may look 5 years, 10 years, and other years in intervals different than their actual age belies. Gemini is the sign of doing more than one thing at once. So, again, the idea of owning more than one house, more than one car, working more than one job could run in that family. But it's a high IQ sign. It's a sign that is very much connected with the brain, the intelligence of the brain, power of the brain cells. And it's a very talkative sign. So many members of your father's family could be very chatty people. Now, the lungs, arms, hands, and shoulders are all ruled by Gemini. So bronchial issues, respiratory issues, any form of breathing issue problems could run in the father's family, including issues with arthritic sensitivities in the fingers, wrists, bursitis in shoulders, or anything like that. Ironically, Gemini is a sign that gives incredible speed with the fingers and coordination with the hands when the person is younger. So it's one of the best signs for, like, typing, playing a keyboard, because it has great dexterity and incredible speed with fingers and hands, and yet those fingers and wrists sometimes create arthritic or rheumatoid sensitivities later on. Not always, just sometimes. But it is a sign that has manual dexterity a lot in its life. So when it comes to building something or putting something together, there's a lot of finger power, manual dexterity. Now, in the area of money, even though this chart's very good with that, you've got Neptune in your house of finance. Now, that means, astrologically, that in the course of your life, you do have to use discernment when it comes to lending people money or giving people money, putting investments into things, because Neptune can be the planet of illusion, deception, misrepresentation, lying, and putting on a good act. So you have to be cautious if someone really comes with a sob story. Is it real, or are they just putting on a good act to help, have you help them in some way financially? Also with investments, even though something seems to be an absolute assured thing, you're very clever and creative with money with that moon in Taurus, but you also have to look through any veils of illusion or misrepresentation that some kind of investment potential could have. The reason why I'm mentioning this, Matt, is many, many people who have Neptune in the second house have somebody, not always big amounts, but sometimes a number of small amounts, take them financially, or they invest in something that was proven to be, through other people's mouths and descriptions, a great thing, but it ends up not being at all what they were issued for it to be. In your own physical health and Mars in Capricorn. Now, Mars in Capricorn can have sensitivity with the knee and knee joint. The sign of Capricorn rules the skeletal system of the body, and it has a particular connection with the human knee. And when people have Mars in Capricorn, they have to be careful of dropping something on their knee, banging their knee up against someplace, falling on their knee, or having knee injuries, or just developmental knee stress. Because this can, Mars is the planet that can show where pain or concentrations of pain can be in the human body. And so bone joints, but particularly the knee joint, Capricorn also rules the teeth and gums. Now, the other planet is Saturn. That's the other boogeyman, so to speak, of the zodiac where we deal with health issues. And it's in Scorpio. And people with Saturn in Scorpio have to be a little, they need more fluids. They need more liquids. They need to take more water than the average person, more herbal teas or juices or whatever is convenient for them to drink in a healthy way, because their colon giving them defects or issues in this life. Scorpio rules the intestinal tract, particularly the large intestine. And so people with Saturn and Scorpio could have irritations or stress in the intestinal area. It also rules the bladder, the urinary tract, and the tubules from the kidneys. So anything that deals with the elimination of body toxins is under the connection with Scorpio. And what happens with Saturn is different than Mars. Saturn is stress and the body's reaction to stress. Mars is anger and the body's reaction to anger or being pushed in an angering way. So if you get too angry, if you get too much of a period of anger through at work, people, someone, it will tend to affect your knee, your teeth, your bone joints. If you are under too much developmental tension, stress, or too much of a long period of stress, it can literally affect the colon, the bladder, the urinary tract, and the tubules from the kidneys. Now, once you get out of the stress, turn the stress off, or move into a different way of being, it will start to heal or correct those areas of the body rather than them getting worse, the elimination areas, that is. And once you get out of angering or continuing inflammatory angering situations, your knee and knee joints and even the teeth could start getting better on their own. Not that I'm saying you shouldn't go for medical advice, but these two planets relate to more the toxic emotions of the human, the high level of stress and the high level of anger. With Mars. And we all have Mars and we all have Saturn somewhere. Now, in your birth chart, you're always going to be a worker. You're not going to be the type of person that will want to just give up and retire. Even if you think you do, you would find yourself right back finding some kind of work, right back finding yourself being busy doing something, because the busyness is not being a Gemini. Although Geminis like to always be occupied doing things, having their mind focused on something and connecting and thinking, because that's the way that sign works. It is mentally astute and mentally always directed to things. It's not just that. It's the fact that you've got four planets, which we'll call the sun a planet for convenience, four planets in your house of career. And that is a person who always needs some kind of career, work, focus in life. Yes, you can eventually reach the age of official retirement, but I'll tell you what, even if you take that, you would either be brought back as a consultant for time in the future for your expert in work, or you would find yourself after a very short period of weeks picking out some kind of work and directive and work energy, because your chart's very work-orientated. I mean, you started working very young in life, and you have been a diligent, persistent, focused worker. And that's another fascinating thing about your chart. One of the worst factors of Gemini is scattering themselves. And you don't really have that. They're focused more than most Geminis. Most Geminis will do a little bit here, learn a little bit about that there, start this and drop that there. They can scatter themselves in too many ways. And in too many non-conclusive ways, not finishing things off. And you finish things off, you stay persistent. And while you may learn about this and learn about that, you're very much a dynamo when it comes to work and applying oneself. And even if you do wear more than one hat in the job that you do, i.e. more than one responsibility, even if you do more than one job, you're still very focused in them. Because, you see, according to the foundationary understanding of astrology, the house or area that has the most number of planets is the area in which this person's life is the most connected to, the most concentrated at or directed to. And this is your career house. I mean, you have one planet in the 11th, one planet in the 12th, one planet in the 2nd, one planet in the 3rd, one planet in the 4th, one planet in the 8th, and in house 10, your career, you have four planets. So here's a house that's just loaded with planetary bodies. And, again, calling the sun a planet for convenience, this means that this is a chart of a worker. This is a chart of a person who puts their all in something. And you're really good seeing how things develop, and you're really a catalyst kicking that developmentation on. The thing about Gemini is it is a very clever sign. It has a very good sense of humor when needed. It can be very quick with words and puns. It can make funny comments and statements and make people laugh because it's a refreshingly creative sign. But it is arguably one of the most intelligent signs of the zodiac. The only ones that might give it kind of an argument might be Libras and Aquarians and possibly Virgos. Those are the other rather smart signs of the zodiac. But Gemini is way up there in intelligence and IQ. And so you were already born with a very dynamic IQ. Not that this was an issue from only your father's side, but primarily from your father's side of the family. There's been a lineage of greatly intelligent people. On your mother's side of the family, there's been a lineage of very clever people, which is a little different, and then highly cerebral, which is more the father's side. And like your father's people could sometimes major in more than one thing or go on and have not only a doctoral but a master's in things, because Gemini will do things in multiplicity, and that sign of Gemini has its energy run through your father's family. So both your mother's and father's people could make money, but your father's side tends to be highly intelligent and adaptable. If something goes wrong, oh, well, they'll adjust to something else. Oh, well, they'll start something else, or they'll look in another direction. But your mother's people, it's a little more difficult. When something goes wrong, it shocks them, stuns them, and makes them even more insecure as to what direction do I go, what do I do, and it takes a while to come out of that stunned shape. Because the moon is in a fixed sign of Taurus, and that's why many times the members of your mother's family can have that fixedness to them. Very kind people, very good-looking people. Taurus is one of the most physically beautiful and handsome signs of the zodiac, and so many members of your mother's family, including your mother, could be very good-looking. And father's people could be, like I said, more youthful-looking or having that sense of not visually aging as much as other people. So when you were born, there's something called the lunar nodes, and not everybody puts these in charts because they're not planets, but they are interesting. There's a north node and a south node, and they are exactly opposite each other in the zodiac and in opposite signs of the zodiac. The north node is the one of importance that we pay attention to because, according to what this energy means, it is what you are supposed to have as a destiny or dharma in this life to go in that direction and fulfill those things. And your north node is in Capricorn, a business, hardworking, industrious, practical sign. Your south node is interesting. Everybody has a south node, and according to the rule of what this means, the south node means what your life was like before you were born into the body of Matt. In other words, a previous life. The nodes are connected to the idea of evolving karma, and the south node indicates what type of life or life pattern you came from. Now, that means you were very much in a life in which a family could have taken care of anything. If something went wrong, don't worry. The family took care of it. If you needed a connection, the family could juice you in. If an issue happened, you needed money, don't worry. The family would be right there. A very powerful, incredibly strong, in a way dominating family that could take care of anything in life. If a mistake happened, you had some covering from your family. But in this life, the North Node in Capricorn was this, you on your own, individually and industriously, are going to work, achieve, build, advance, and financially get ahead. That literally echoes what all those four planets in your career house say. People with the North Node in Capricorn are here to industriously and dynamically and business-wise, like, direct and build themselves ahead in life and in life's direction. So that's why, in many ways, it is very good to have the North Node in Capricorn, because you will have people who are really destined to really financially and work-wise and structure-wise get ahead in life. Now, there will be people born with that that will not do that. They'll get stuck in their South Node, and they'll be out there with a handout for their family or their parents or for their father to take care of them. That's the way it was in a past life. Now, I don't mean that in a sense of being a slacker offer. It just means in a past life you were born into such a powerful family that if there was no room for a mistake. If some mistake happened, if some money was needed, if some issue was there, the family would take care of the mistake for you. The money would be provided for you. It was the sense of all coming from the family. That's what this nodal pattern means to me. And this is how this interconnection shows in the chart. But people with Virgo rising, like you have, actually like to work. You see, there are three earth signs, Capricorn, Taurus, and Virgo. And those are the most work-orientated, business-orientated, building a career and life structure of all the signs of the zodiac. And you've got one of those on the horizon. And whatever's coming over the eastern horizon in your birth city, in this case it's Virgo, that has a lot to talk about what you are like, how people see you, how you come across to others. And people with Virgo rising actually like to work, and they're the ones who find the fault and mistakes in others. And I don't mean it as a harsh comment, but if somebody did some kind of paperwork and there were mistakes in that paperwork, if there were incorrect structure and grammar, or if there were improper, incorrect information in there, you would be zero right in and pick that out because of the Virgo rising. If someone does something but does it in a very lazy, quick, fast, hurry up, let's get it over type of way and doesn't put anything into it, you could be very picky and critical with them because of the Virgo rising. Virgo says, I give my all and I put my whole strength and detailed energy into something, and I expect you to also do it also. So wow. Virgo can be a very, very intelligent sign. It does share something with Gemini. Both Gemini and Virgo are ruled by the planet Mercury. And so even though, Matt, you may not have paid attention or known anything about Mercury retrograding, you are affected when that planet goes retrograde, sometimes more than other people. So since June the 4th, I believe, or was it June 7th? But anyway, I think it was June 4th. Mercury went retrograde. And if not, it was the 7th, and it just stopped yesterday. And so that could have been a week of more weirder things happening, things taking longer to get finished, things being delayed, a lot of things getting confused and having to be redone, people missing connections, people forgetting things, people misstating things. It could have been more of a scattering energy. Now, that's all over. You don't have to worry about that now. You're in July, you're in August, you're in September. You're in a period of Mercury, your ruling planet, being in a forward direct motion. And when that happens, that's the strong, full speed ahead, like a locomotive for Gemini and Virgo people. But it isn't evil when Mercury goes retrograde. It just scatters themselves more, or they have more drama, more stuff that they have to deal with in work and from other people and from situations and things when Mercury goes retrograde. And that drama has now ended, and that stuff has now either by energy in the sky come to a conclusion, or it's rapidly coming to a conclusion. now that we
well,
are
thanks
early
to Janie.
Life.
She lets me know when Mercury's going retrograde and when it ends. So I'm actually relatively familiar with it.
You know what? I've had total hardcore skeptics that thought astrology was some stupid, idiotic medieval superstition. Why would anyone in today's world even possibly ever believe in something like this? All I did was I gave them the date for a period of 2 years of when Mercury is retrograde, and I say, don't put any power of belief in it, just watch it. All you have to do is watch. I mean, don't fantasize, don't make up anything, just watch. And after observing this, they said, oh, my God, it is exactly right on. During those periods, things happened that never happened at other times, and they said, this was my life. You weren't controlling it. I was seeing it. I was watching it, and they said there's got to be something to this. In fact, one of them, Matt, ended up becoming so turned around from skepticism that they started to study astrology. And although they work other career, they actually could be a professional astrologer. They're that good in doing chart reading. It was the viewing of Mercury retrograde period that was the catalyst and turning point for them.
Yeah. And you know what? And Janie says she's not a psychic. I mean, at least she's intuitively in tune. So,
well,
yeah.
Our water sign people, Cancer, Scorpios, and Pisces, they have the intuitiveness, the emotionalness, and the potential for psychic ability, just like the air sign people, Gemini, Libra, Aquarius, have the breakthrough ideas. They're the intelligent ones, the IQ ones. They're the inventive ones. Each side has its own capacity for energy.
Well, you know, before Matt says anything, because I got a question from Janie that I don't know if you want to answer this week, Ron, or it would be next week, but she is asking about, can he tell Matt about his Venus in Cancer and my Venus in Gemini? Is there a...
That's very good. Actually, that could be part of next week, but I'll repeat it then. Matt, well, it's safe for anybody. Whatever sign the planet Venus is in your chart, that is a sign that you have as great attraction to and attraction from. And the fact that you were born with Venus, the planet of love, relationships, marriage, dating, romance, in Cancer, would mean that you have an incredible power to have success with someone born under the sign of Cancer. Now, Janie has it in Gemini. I have it in Gemini, too, so I understand that, Janie. You have great power to marry or connect or interconnect with someone in Gemini. Even attractions, people who have Venus in Cancer are attracted to Cancer people. Venus in Gemini, they're attracted to Gemini people. It is true that Venus is the planet that rules women, so if you want to specifically break it down, Mars rules men, Venus rules women, but there are differences in energies between Mars and Venus. Venus is the planet that you look to for, am I going to meet someone? Or, tell me about how my marriage is going? Or am I going to get married? I met someone. What do you think? You look at Venus in the person's chart who's asking that question or is coming in with that question, and it will tell you a lot about that relationship in their life. So it is very, very good, Matt, to have a relationship with a Cancerian person by having Venus in Cancer.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you something. I'm not going to let Matt talk very much here, but I think Janie had like a million planets. She was a triple Cancer. And he's got Cancer in you got to be kidding. I mean, this is like a chart made in, like, oh, match heaven.
Matt, you have more planets in Cancer than any other sign. Jupiter, Venus, and Uranus.
Yeah, is that crazy? I mean, that's just, you know what? That's what I love, Matt, about, I'm going to say urology because I was a urology nurse for all those years, but astrology.
People think of astrology and urology in the same term.
Yeah, you're right. One pees in the toilet and the other one pees in the sky, but, you know, hey, whatever. But I do have to tell you that it's just so, like, when people say, like, oh, it's just random. How can this be random? You know, how could it be random? I've never seen so much Cancer. In fact, I want to, like get it away because I'm really a Cancer Leo and I'm really much more a Leo. I like feel and I'm also Sag rising. But you two are the cancerous cancers I've ever known.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about where astrology is not real. It's those ridiculous sign columns that you see in newspapers, magazines, on the Internet. Don't read those people. Don't believe those. That's so general, it's ridiculous.
And you know what? Matt, did you find it this? Does it sound like you?
There's some things on here that I wrote down, like the career part. He doesn't know what I do, I would assume, but
no, he doesn't.
I would send him some stuff on that, but he was right on the career stuff. I mean, the knees and the teeth, that's the two most brutal part of my body. Both knees are basically gone. There's not, you know, I had the meniscus done on one, the other one's already sore. So he was right on there. And then the part about the catalyst stuff and he's got to see what I do because it's actually unbelievable.
Yeah, send it to him, Matt. You heard his living astro at AOL.com. He would run.
Yeah.
Well, I'm answering for, you know, it's just that I like talking. You know, I have to talk. And the thing is, I can't, you know, when Ron talks and he's telling you for half an hour, I'm like, ah! So I have to talk. But I'm sure Ron would love you to, I'm answering for you, Ron, but I'm sure you would love him to send you what he does.
I heard about retiring and the worker part, that was right on.
Yeah, he's
excellent. I don't know if it's over the air, but it's Matt, you're fading in and out, so I could basically get the gist of what you're saying. I didn't hear every word, but I think I heard it.
Yeah, he's going to send you what he does so that you could see. But I got to tell you, Matt, it's not like, that's what he said, that's what we say about astrology being a roadmap. Like the minute you took a breath, he's reading your roadmap. So it's not, you know, it's really cool. There's 400 different things in a roadmap in each sign. So he can only give you this as 30 minutes. But now you can see why people, and, you know, I have friends who are physicians, friends who are CEOs, who call Ron and say, hey, listen, I'm buying a house or I'm having an operation in November. Can you pick the dates for me? Because he looks at that whole chart and sees what dates would be really good for you to heal, to do all that stuff. So, you know, Ron does a whole lot of things. But the cool thing is it's your roadmap. And what people don't realize is you can look at that roadmap and get answers for, you know, for future, for past, for present situation. So isn't that cool?
You know what, Donnie, what you just said is important. Timing. Astrology deals with timing.
Yeah, so you know what? You know, Matt, now you've got part of your chart, you know, and I know Janie and you have Ron's email, but he would, you know, the thing is that when people say, oh, they don't want to go to a psychic medium, and I am a psychic medium, so don't say anything because I can answer a lot of questions. Ron actually has your roadmap that shows you everything you came into this life for. And you know what? I love that because I do love you, Matt. I know you for a while. And even though physically we're not in the same town, I do know that you look young, and I'm going to tell you that I think Cancer's rock young looks too, Ron, because, see, I'm a Cancer, and I'm 15, so, you know.
Cancer will look young if they have some Gemini placements in their charts. The Gemini makes them having the young look.
Oh, I love that. Well, Matt, do you have any other questions for Ron before we go to our next segment?
No, I'm good. I'm going to thank him, and I appreciate it. And I can't look. Well, I'm looking forward to the joint reading.
Oh,
well,
that's
thank you, Matt.
Cool.
It's been a pleasure and an honor to do this. Also, Janie, thank you too. It was a pleasure meeting another multiple Cancer like me. I'm not a triple, but I'm a double.
Oh my God, the three of you! I got to throw you to the water. No, I'm kidding. But hey, Matt, this is on our archives. It's also on podcast. I would suggest you and Janie, both your reading and her reading, and the reading, you know, next week, that you download your podcast or your archived so that you can keep it. Okay?
Oh, definitely.
Well, have a great, great day, and thank you for letting us glimpse in to a little piece of you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, Matt.
See ya.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, Ron.
Well, thank you very much for living me on today, Bonnie. Also, I know we're getting into Kelly's time, but hi, Kelly. I never get a chance to say hello to you either, so I want to say hello now.
way I'm going to put her on because she adores you. Kelly!
I know. Hi, Ron. It's like, been listening. I love your stuff. I do. It's like, especially, you know, Bonnie and I were talking at the first and going, because I was remembering what you were saying about, you know, Mars and about Saturn, about how there was always that, you know, like wobble, like when they were going from, you know, direct to retrograde and retrograde to direct. And actually, it was when Saturn was going retrograde that my grandson fell and, like, you know, broke his tooth, and they had to take him to the pediatric dentist and all. And I was thinking, it's like, what kind of wobble, you know, what kind of things do we get when Mercury goes, like, it just went direct yesterday. So what kind of things, you know, wobble in Mercury for us when, you know, when it's making that transition?
Well, it's very interesting. I've even seen this as an experiment because people thought I was crazy, but we used to have VCRs, okay? There was a stack of VCRs in an appliance store. And when someone was going in to buy one, a friend of mine, I said, no, Mercury's retrograde. Wait till it's over and then buy one. And so they went ahead and bought it under the Mercury retrograde, and they had all kinds of trouble. It wouldn't rewind. The tapes were getting freeze up. And then they took it back, and Mercury was direct, and I says, now get one. And it worked fine. And they said to me, in that stack of recorders there, if I buy something on Mercury retrograde, I'm going to inevitably pick something with glitches or with issues or with some kind of problem. And when Mercury retrograde's over, I'll go in and pick something that works fine. And I said, I know that sounds totally illogic to the human mind thinking.
Nope, not a bit.
But when you buy something under Mercury retrograde, you are drawn to or inevitably clicked into something that's going to have some problems with it. Same thing with an automobile. Same thing with an appliance, the television. You really need to wait for big, expensive things, including house purchases, till the retrograde is over, because you will not have those issues that would come in when the retrograde is going on.
Well, I love that. I do love that. Well, I just want to tell you, Ron, you are a pleasure, a breath of fresh air. We all love astrology, even if I'm still at the Astrology for Idiots first
and
part.
And we miss you when you're gone.
We miss you when you're gone. You can't be gone anymore, Ron. Who cares if you're sick? We're just going to pull that essence out of your throat.
I couldn't have done it last week. I couldn't have even talked last week, but I'm talking now, so we're okay.
I am so happy. And you know what? Our birthdays, I got to say to everybody, our birthdays, Ron and I, is 7/14. Now, I know I've told you that 7/14 is my birthday, but it's also Ron's. We're birthday buddies.
Yeah. We have one more show to announce this for everyone out there to be excited about. Now
I know.
Excited about, tell them that you know, gifts would be okay or other things.
Yes. Gifts will be fine. And if you just send a candle through the through your chat, we will love that too. But I have to tell you, Ron and I did go out for our birthdays. He was up here, so we actually went out for our birthdays and really enjoyed it. And, you know, I'm dying to go back out again, Ron. So, you know, it might be that we're going to do a round two of our birthday dinner. So stay tuned,
everybody.
Well,
I think it was birthday last year we went out, so.
Yes.
I
know, but we just went out. Remember, we went to, what was the name of that restaurant?
Oh, I know. I'm just teasing you. Did it as an early birthday gathering.
We did, because we didn't know where I was going to be. But now I'm home. And I won't be home on our birthday, but I still have a week to go. So we got to look at it because I'm just rocking this whole month for my birthday, Ron. So I don't know about you, but I don't do just one day.
Yes, I've always celebrated it the whole month because we're born in the Northern Hemisphere here in the summer month. So we've got very good months for birthdays. The other thing we're very lucky is we have our birthdays when we never were in school.
Well, what was bad for me, Ron, is a boy, you're okay, but as a girl, I could never have a birthday party, and nobody ever came because they were either at summer camp or they were with their parents on vacation. So I never had that. So I just want to let you know.
Oh, my gosh, I had so many, I can't think of it. Oh, really? I never thought about that. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I just want to thank you. We love you. We will see you here next week. And I really want to get back into the retrograde mode about the different planets. It's just so interesting. But I want everybody to know out, and I thank you, all you chatters and listeners. Kelly and I are going to switch now. But I've got to ask you a question out in chat If you want to get involved in this retrograde, I need to know, I want to know, that's really not your birthday. So we can take questions. So next week, if you want to ask questions about any planets, what the planets are in retrogrades, just get on the line from 1 to 2, or actually from 1 to 1:30, and we'll be happy to answer you. Or actually, Ron will be, I'll be happy to trip over your questions. Ron will be actually happy to answer them. So, Ron, again, thank you, thank you. And you know I love you. I think Ron's off. Did Ron get off?
No, he's right there.
Okay, Ron, I love you, and happy birthday, my friend. And I will see you before our birthdays, because next week we have a show.
That's right. Thank you, Bonnie, and love to everyone also.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron. Have a great day. It's my honor to have you always on Wednesdays, and we are so lucky. So thank you, sir.
And now and here comes Dynamic Kelly. She is so good, so I know everyone's excited.
I love Kelly. Yes, I do. Thank you.
And
Cal, before we start, Kelly and I are going to switch everyone. I have some things going on the next 2 weeks, actually almost till July 20th. So we're going to have different dates. Please call in. Kelly's going to be reading your cards. And Kelly, you know, anytime you want to, because it's summer hours, if you want to talk, you want to, you know, tell people, I will try to get back on, but I've got to go see where my daughter is. But, So I know you have a caller. If you want to wrap up that caller and, you know, let me know. But just to let everybody know who's coming on tomorrow. Tomorrow we've got Brenda Brand and Annabelle Miller and Leslie Journey. The first hour is, of course, our fab, wonderful Brenda Brand, who's our medical intuitive. She was medically not feeling well last week, and so she kind of was in and out of when she could. And her mom, which is a mom-daughter duo. She's psychic. She's mediumistic. She gives you answers plain and simple. And that's Annabelle Miller. I call her Annabelle. Her real name is Ann, but I mean, I love the name Annabelle. So please call her. Our co-host, Leslie Journey. She's going to be on the second hour. She's going to be on from 2 to 3. She gives dates, times. We'll talk to you. In fact, I think, Kelly, you're going to take that show with Leslie because you and I share her and you've been fighting for her, I know. So if you can please.
I know,
and she enjoys you too. So I'm glad we can switch off because I know she wants to talk about meditation and how to get into it and why she meditates. Remember, I didn't really go into this, but I'm asking people, and I didn't ask Ron, but I could ask you real quick before I actually hand the show over to you. You know, both Susan and I always ask our co-hosts, we're starting a week-long conversation. So you'll hear me ask Annabelle and Brenda, and I would love you to ask Leslie, your opinions on when you ask spirit, not so much, you know, you can answer this, Kelly, about how you feel, but when spirit doesn't show you something and the client has asked you, Susan and I explain that it's usually a karmic event that we're not privy to because they don't want you to know the outcome. It's usually a karmic lesson.
Sometimes if you know the outcome, how often would we do avoidance and go, I don't want to go through that like that, and I'm going to go out of my way to avoid that. It's like, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so they don't want, and literally we had a medium on the show. Do you remember Ronald Reeder, who literally said, I see your relative standing in front of me, and they're not talking. And remember, I saw them too.
I remember that. They're all sitting there going, nope, we're not saying a word.
Yeah, and usually it's because something's coming up, an event that's coming up. They don't want you or us to tell you what it is because they don't want us to affect the outcome. And I love that, Kelly.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you
feel
about it?
That's what free will is.
Yeah.
I totally agree, you know, I've had them flat out tell me things like, it's like, well, we're not going to tell you this because it is your learning, and if we tell you, then it's just like, it's almost like skipping the grade. It would be like if the teacher gave you a pop quiz and then gave you the answer sheet right along with it, and you just go, oh, I got 100. It's like, but what did you learn? See, it's like sometimes by failing a test, We learn what we don't know. And then we get to go, oh, now I know where my weakness is, so I need to be able to study this or do this or whatever, and I need to go back and do it better. So sometimes failing a test, if you will, is not that bad a thing because it simply shows what you don't know and what you need to learn. I mean, I kind of think of, I don't know if you ever watched, like, the Magic School Bus, you know, with your kids. It's like, you know,
Miss Frizzle.
So make mistakes, you know, take chances,
that's
get
who
messy,
you, are.
You know?
That's who you are, Kelly. You're the Magic School Bus lady. I knew it. I mean, Mrs. Frizzle, you don't look like Mrs. Frizzle, but she drives that school bus and teaches those kids lessons. She takes them to different universes. Oh, my goodness. That's your new name, Mrs. Frizzle. Okay, can we call you Mrs. Frizzle?
Sure.
Can you?
That's how my hair looks. My hair looks like I ought to be Miss Frizzle.
Oh, no. You're adorable, Kelly, and I want everybody to know she does not look like the Miss Frizzle that's on TV, but she is Miss Frizzle. She just gave you her personality, actually. She gave you what she really feels. She's a teacher. She's a she transcends this universe. She takes and teaches kids her own because they're homeschooled, all about
that's right.
That we don't even teach our kids. So I am so excited, Kelly. Science is you. You are science and metaphysics. So you're Miss Frizzle. You have a caller here. I'm going to take the caller for you because then we won't have to switch. So I am going to take 979. You are on with Kelly. Hi.
Hello. How are y'all doing?
We are doing
really good.
How are you and who are we speaking with?
You're speaking to Gay.
One badass Gay. Is that what you said?
No, one badass angel.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because your name's Gay. I wasn't saying anything about that. But I don't even think that way. So one badass angel, you are on, girlfriend. Would you like a reading from Kelly or have you gotten one?
She hasn't gotten one,
but she's about to.
Oh, crap.
We were cheating because she's in chat, and she already told me what her birthday was. She's a Leo person. I'm like going, yeah. Not only is she a Leo, she is a Seven of Diamonds Leo, which means she's a double Seven of Diamonds, which I'm just going, oh, my goodness.
Oh,
and I want to tell her some of that. But like, it's like, holy moly.
Listen, I just want to tell you something because I'll be stepping out, but I'll come right back. But I want to tell you something, Gay. If you have any cards that are mine, I'll be Kelly will know which ones they are.
Them.
I will share,
honey.
Will you share? You're like me. You're a sharer, and I'm a sharer. Good girl. Okay, go for it, Kelly. Go for it, girlfriends. Go ahead. I'll be right back.
I was going to say, and Bonnie, you know how this goes. It's like if you have somebody step in that has something to say, it's like I'm very interruptible because I can pick up my flow. It just goes pause, like the VCR moment. It's like as soon as you stop, it's like I just go on. So I'm good. Alrighty. But the seven is the card of spiritual values. And like I said, you're a double one because Leos have no separate planetary ruling cards. So you're like, you know, a double whammy with this. And the Seven of Diamonds is one of the unique cards. It's called a semi-fixed card. And, of course, you know, I use what's called the poker deck, you know, so it's like this. So you're the Seven of Diamonds. It's a part of a special family of different cards. You fall into a different category, and you've really got a special mark on your life. You can be very stubborn, but you can also be extremely creative. And some of you guys are destined to become millionaires in this lifetime by accessing the high side. It's a spiritual money card. By suit, you're always connected with money in some way, shape, or form. You know, you get a lot of your lessons through it, this material world. But as a spiritual member, you've got to maintain this non-attached attitude about money or you will experience continual problems in that area. So it's kind of like, you know, you're either worrying about money all the time and, you know, and having not enough, or you're not worrying about money and you really have as much as you like. It's like worry shoots, you know, you're one of those people where it's like worry will shoot yourself in the foot. So if you don't worry about it, if you look up and just go, thank you, God, for supplying my needs, it's like that's exactly what happens. But regardless, you know, a lot of your life lessons are going to come through that avenue of the material. The other avenue is close relationships, like, you know, families, lovers, friends, very important to you. You've got close ties, remember that cartoon strip, for better or worse, yes, with your family, and you share in their trials. You've got a high spiritual love nature that often entails making personal sacrifices for your family and other close relationships. There is very little that you would not do on behalf of your parents, family, and those people you really love. And it's one of the most spiritual cards in a deck. And as such, your success comes from approaching life in ways other than either traditional or materialistic ways. The most successful Seven of Diamonds people are the ones who live in the faith that all your needs are always going to be provided, and glory be, that's what happens. You can be really restless, and sometimes you make frequent changes either in occupation or location, which makes a lot of sense because I know who your, you know, who your spouse is. So
yeah.
We had a bit of travel.
Yeah.
Your love life usually entails some sacrifice and disappointment until you learn to let others go. So it's like, again, that would be, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me. In your spiritual studies, you'll find inner satisfaction and validation for your own intuition. And once you're on your spiritual path, everything in your life is going to be put into proper perspective, and you can excel in any chosen field. Give us a little bit more on relationships as a, you know, as a spiritual card. Relationships a lot of times revolve around letting go, frozen, let it go, right, of personal attachments and developing a more spiritual approach to love. You are by nature very loving people, very willing to make sacrifices on behalf of the people that you love. And you're bound to have one or more karmic love involvements. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, and this is a real tricky part of this. It's like relationships are not necessarily always just with your spouse. It's like, I mean, you know, we have a relationship with our children, with our parents, with our grandparents, with, you know, with the grocery store guy. I mean, it's anybody who is in your world, your circle, as, you know, friend, family, acquaintance, you know, whatever. So it's like there's things that you do for people even if they're not in your immediate heart, you know, okay? Those love involvements are going to challenge you to raise your level of love to more spiritual and responsible heights. And I'm thinking, you know, you're probably the age you're currently at is you've probably seen and done a lot of this. But like the other cards, you know, you've got high ideals associated with love and partnership. But you're more or less kind of destined to have those ideals tested every step along the way because this is, you know, sevens are the cards of fate, you know. But your stubbornness and independence attracts powerful relationships into your life, and it's the ones that teach you important lessons, you know, because a challenge is where we get our lessons. And what I said earlier, this quote is like, Seven of Diamonds are from some other planet.
Yes, I
and
am.
I laughed when I saw that.
I
was like,
I
okay.
love that.
Because
I'm from a different planet. No, I
mean, I was always the odd man out, even in my family. My mom and dad, I have like two brothers and a sister. I was totally like the outside dude. That's why I was such a lonely kid. I was very lonely, and I had no friends. It was like, really? And I didn't really start even having really good friendship relationships until I was like maybe in my 40s.
Wow.
I guess
I was about 20. But I got away from high school. I hit the college scene, and it's like, I started meeting people.
But you know what?
But
that makes
sense.
Same with inner growth, you know, finding, you know, learning to love myself in order for me to let people in. You know, a lot of it, you create a wall of protection, and you're like, okay, you can be my friend, but I've had so many disappointments that it was, I think that's what that kind of thing was on me, and people could smell that, and they kind of back away. Where is the breath freshener here? I mean, I don't know.
Let me go roll in the horse mint. Right.
Was there anything else that I needed to hear, that I, any other cards that I need, Cal?
We're just getting started here, Bonnie. Oh my goodness, are you kidding? Seven of Diamonds people are different from the rest of us. They're different in some sort of undefinable way. They can only be detected by getting to know them. If you look at the list of some of the other Seven
well,
of Diamonds
life,
people,
well, my
like,
but,
hang on, wait for it.
Wait, because
Seven of Diamonds people are like Andy Warhol, David Lynch, George Carlin, Federico Fellini, are just a few of the Seven of Diamonds that most of us have heard about. They just don't seem to operate under the normal rules of life that the rest of us do. Their ideas, viewpoints, and life and priorities often seem to be at odds with the social norms of our society and culture. As a matter of fact, it seems like all of the fixed and semi-fixed cards are from some other planet. And these cards are, it's like there's several of them, the Eight of Clubs, the King of Spades, the Jack of Hearts, the Ace of Clubs, the Two of Hearts, the Seven of Diamonds, and the Nine of Hearts are all. They share the quality of being different from the rest of the 45 cards in the deck. And we usually find people of those cards hanging out with each other. Like a lot of times, you know, an Eight of Clubs will have a close friend or relative that's either a Seven of Diamonds or a Jack of Hearts. The cards in the Special Family Seven seem to understand each other while the rest of us just kind of stare and wonder what's going on, you know? You've heard that one. It's like, you know, there's people who make things happen. There's people who, you know, who watch things happen, and there's people who wonder what happened. I'm going, yeah, I'm thinking I wonder what happened most of the time, you know.
But it does say, and I want to steal everything that happened. But I want to share, not steal. Share.
Okay. Go for it. But, you know, all those cards are really strong-willed. They're fixed in some of their natures. And it's like, but once they've made up their minds, it's really next to impossible to dissuade them from their course because they're all hard workers. They can be counted on in emergencies, you know, to keep their word. They give a lot of us, you know, feeling of safety and sureness with their strength of will. However, that same fixed nature can make them very difficult or unable to see others' points of view or to change when they have to because there will be life-changing events. And, when you find yourself going, I'm about to hit a brick wall and it's going to hurt and it's like, and then I got to change, you know, but still we owe them a lot. Seven of Diamonds especially are so creative and they come up with some of the most outrageous and great ideas. They have the ability to tap into the spiritual money realms where the very best sales and promotional ideas come from. And those ideas are usually very progressive and different and highly effective. And, you know, so people of us, you know, those of us who have a Seven of Diamonds either doing creative or sales work are highly fortunate. So it's like, if you've never thought about sales, might be a good time to because, you know, you have the window on the etheric world, so to speak, of, you know, what's going on with stuff.
I do have my connections,
Well, I hope you have connections to a producer that can take my show to, like, you know, mainstream, because that's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, there you
It'll happen. It'll happen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, there you are.
You know what, Jay? You're my best friend. Absolutely.
You know, it'll happen, because you know what? You put it out to the universe. You're open to receiving. Coming, baby.
Yes, I am. Oh, honey, you know what, Gay? I'm gonna hope that you're there when I come to do that because all of my peeps and all of my listeners, all my callers, it's gonna be the same. So you're gonna be on syndicated air, and we're gonna rock everybody. We're gonna rock everybody because I believe in taking everybody with me.
We will
rock you. Okay. Sorry. All right. I'll see if I have a song coming to me. I'll just keep listening again. Then I got to run. Let me see if anything comes to me here.
Unless you're a really fast writer, you can come back in archives and grab this. But your personal year looks like this, and it's like it's the same. The dates will be the same every year. It's like, you know, it's just the cards that change. So like your Mercury time starts and it goes for yes, ma'am.
Kelly, you know the song, you know the Big Bang Theory, Kelly, I need to tell her something. I don't know why this is coming to me, Gay, but they keep showing me the scene of Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know really what that means and if there's
something. Me either, so, yeah.
He's a famous guy, and I can't remember what the heck he was famous for. What do you
they
do?
They keep showing
like,
me the seagull. No, this Jonathan Livingston Seagull is a book about a seagull that soars to a different beat. So and it's like a really, I mean, it's one that's classic. My God, I have spirit here. So there's one classic. Yeah, it's classic.
I thought it was a guy.
If you don't understand what this is book about, whether you've read it before or if you haven't, and they're showing me this book, it means maybe spirit wants you. They're giving me a glimpse of what you are, how you work, but they're showing me a seagull. Are you sure? Do you go to the beach? They're showing me this.
No, I love the beach, but no, I don't go much because I burn. But I don't live anywhere near a beach anyway, so.
Well, I see the seagull flying and flying and flying higher. So they're showing me the scene. Either read the book or maybe this sign will come to you. But it's like maybe it's a bird of a different feather. I mean, then they would have showed me that. But they're showing me a seagull, so I don't know why. But you can write that down. They're not coming to tell me. It's just a scene from that book, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. So look it up.
I will.
Okay, girlfriend, go ahead, Kelly. I'm going. So I'm going.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, and by the way, Bonnie, if you see anybody that's around me that like family or anybody, friends?
You have a lot of people around you. That's who gave me the Jonathan Livingston Seagull. That's why I was.
And I bet. What did the gentleman look like?
Well, you know, so they talk to me. I hear them. Sometimes they step in the front. Sometimes they send me pictures of things. So all I know is whoever's sending this to me is really insistent that you know. So if you don't know, now maybe it's somebody who's attached to you. Do they read the book? They have the book. They were at the beach. It's your symbol, but they're showing.
All right, I got it.
Okay. You also have a lady in spirit that's, I'm going to say, I don't want to repeat that. I'm not repeating that. Okay. she's one heck of a bruiser, I'll tell you that. So I don't know who this woman is, but she's feisty and funny. So I don't mean feisty mean. I mean feisty funny. And she said she's one hell of a bruiser, is what she's saying to me. So you've got somebody there. Maybe she's an aunt. Do you know any aunt that's passed away because she's showing me aunt?
No one I was close to, but there's a lot of aunts that passed away. I mean, no one I was close to.
Well, she's saying you would know her, so it's somebody that you would know. And maybe it was, and they're showing me when you were younger.
Oh, I don't know. I know that recently, like a couple of years ago, my grandmother passed.
Yeah.
She was kind of a spoiled brat, feisty heifer. So.
Yeah. It's probably your grandmother because you also have an aunt over there because they're stepping. You've got a lot of people here. So for me to know who they are, I can see them, but I can't, decipher who's an aunt, sister, because I don't see that. I either see removed. And this one says, that's what I was saying when she said she says you're just like her. So I don't know if it's a personality that you're just like her.
And part of it, because it's my mom's mother.
And she said
she was spicy in a way. She was kind of spoiled, and she said what she thought, but yet she had a temper. She just really had temper tantrums. I don't do that, but
That's this one that's got the tattoo. I see her when she said, I wouldn't repeat what she said. That's her. And she said, oh, yes, you are. She's taking credit for being here. She's taking credit for...
You know what? She left this planet without resolving things that she should have, But she did. Not with me, but with other people and the way that she conducted herself. But you know what? When I was little and young, and like I said, I was a lonely child, I was the only one that would go visit with her because she always made me feel special where I didn't feel special in my normal world.
What she said is you are special.
I am special now. I definitely know that, yeah.
And what was to her, you were special. So she's got her hand on her hip going, she is special. So I do have to tell
you. But
you
know, before she passed, her mother would come and visit me too. My great-grandmother.
You've got a lot of people around you, but the one that's stepping up front is this one. So she also said that did she have any gifts? Because she said that she's taking credit for that too. That your mom's side of the family,
she never said that she did, but she would tell me that my great grandmother always kind of had that gift.
Yeah.
So
she did too. But she didn't use it the way that you think. Like, I'm going to tell you how she used it. Don't you go down that step, because I know that if you go down that step, you're not coming back off that step. So she wouldn't actually tell you what she was doing, but she would verbally say you couldn't or don't do. That's how she used that gift. She wants you to know that.
She had a very strong, personality.
That's why I wouldn't repeat what she said to me. But
she'd always like experiment with making food. And if you took a bite and made a face because you didn't like it, she would hold a grudge to her. She did. She held a grudge to her grave.
She's holding a wooden spoon and a spatula, and she said she'd whack you. That's what she said.
Nope. But she sure would. Who she get mad if you didn't?
Yeah, I don't. She. But she's silent. And what she's saying is that she didn't. That you know, unfortunately, to resolve issues before she left, it would have taken an act of
forever.
God. I don't know. She said an act of God, and she didn't have one at that point. So she said that those issues will be resolved with everybody once they see what their path was, is what she's telling me. So
right, and I think that she, you know, I know she loved me. I never doubted that, but she was just really rough and gruff and a little spoilt. She acted like a spoilt little child.
Oh, honey, you know? I see her. I feel her. I know what she's doing. And then she's handing me, which is interesting, begrudgingly, she's handing me a yellow rose for you. So
I'm a little lady Texan now, right from Texas, the yellow rose.
Oh, yeah.
And yellow roses are my favorite, too. So.
Well, I'm going to tell you she gave you one, and she's got this big, I'm going to say, shit-eating grin on her face. I don't usually use that word. Okay. So I do have to tell you that it has been a pleasure, Gabe. Oh, my goodness, they're so on top of me. You've got a lot of people here. I have to walk out, and I've got to ask
you. Yeah, go ahead and walk out.
I do want to tell you, Gabe, and this is what I want to tell everybody listening to, is this, that you never know who's coming for you. I wanted to find my father. He comes to everybody but me. But when people say, oh, did you have an aunt or you had somebody who smoked in your family? I'm like, yes. And they go, well, what's his name? He was in the military. Who would have thought he came? So my point is this, not all the time are you going to get the people who you want to talk to, but the one that's the strongest that needs to talk to you or wants to come through is the one that comes. And I will tell you that she's pretty strong, and another thing is she wanted you to know that she was there. So you have a lot of people on the other side. You have a lot of people that support you. You have a lot of people that want to come through, but she says she's coming through first. So there you go.
That's dimple for you.
For sure,
yeah. Hey, have a great day, and, you know, it's been a pleasure, Gay, and you know what? We'll all see each other someday on the other side, which I hope isn't another for 200 years, but you never know. Okay.
Yeah. All righty.
All right, Kelly, you've got, you know, I just want to ask you a question. How do I can't hang up, right? I'm just going to leave this go until you're done. Can you pick up
sure,
the calls
sure.
or do I have to? Okay.
Yeah,
everyone,
yeah,
I
yeah.
love you. I've got to answer a few things. This is a great, you know, show. Kelly is fabulous. And I love everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye, Kelly.
We'll see you.
Bye, Gay. Bye, all my.
Bye, Bonnie.
Bye. I love my listeners, my chatters, and my peeps. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye, guys.
All righty. Okay, now I can talk. No. I love Bonnie.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Okay, what I'm going to give you here really quick, Gay, is how the planets, you know, line up for you and the days and that kind of stuff. Your Mercury, of course, is going to start on your birthday, okay, and it goes for 52 days. Then the Venus time frame starts September 28th for you. Mars, and this is for every year. This will be consistent. Like I said, this is where, you know, the cards will change, but it's like the days do not. The Mars time frame starts on November 18th. Your Jupiter time frame starts January 10th. The Saturn time frame starts, ooh, easy one to remember, 3-3, March 3rd. The Uranian time frame starts April 24th. And then last of all but not least is your Neptune time frame, and that's what you're in right now, is June 15th it started. So it's, yeah. So that's where you're at in the moment. And what you've got for this year finishing up, you had Ace of Spades as your long-range card, which means it was really a year of transformation of, like, you know, a lot of things going on. You've currently got actually in your Neptune a Two of Diamonds, which is like partnership in, I want to say values, partnership in money, partnership in values. But it's a partnership of some sort, and it's like because Neptune is about, you know, the hopes, the dreams, it can also be illusion and fantasy. So it's a fine line that's cut there. So just be aware of you know, if you're thinking about getting, you know, doing a partnership with somebody for finances, or if there's something, you know, that you value, whatever, just be aware that there's not deception involved, because, you know, a lot of times Neptune can be that place where we put on our rose-colored glasses and we want to see the best, and sometimes when what's actually happening when we take the rose-colored glasses off is your worst nightmare just surfaced. So just be aware, okay, aware of that. And it's interesting because you've also, for this whole year, too, it's like the two of the year-long cards is the Pluto and the result pair. The Pluto is your challenge card. The result is, you know, it's like how do you fix it, or how do you have a positive outcome. So the challenge for you has actually been the Ten of Diamonds. Ten is a very strong card, and it's usually about our social circle or, you know, people around us. There's usually ten of something. The Ten of Diamonds is actually the blessed card. So the fact that it was like, you know, a challenge card for you this year is like, you know, it's like, wow, our blessings are a challenge. I'm sitting here kind of scratching my head going, wow, that's kind of interesting. But the result is the Six of Hearts, which is, sixes are always about karma, and hearts, of course, are about relationships. So somehow or other, the resolution for the blessed card being a challenge is, I'm going to say, karmically fixing, or, you know, karmically balancing the relationships, or, you know, what's going on in relationships with you this year. Now, this whole thing is going to shift gears for you, and it's like, and I really want you to call back in, you know, after your birthday, because next year you've got, for a long range, you've got the Six of Spades, which is like the card of fate. So it's like, it's also usually one that points to, you know, what are you going to be doing for the rest of your life, you know, type of thing. It's like, you know, what do I want to do when I grow up?
That's a big question mark for me right now.
Uh-huh. And you're going to get a lot of answers. I mean, surprisingly, because you've got some restless energy really coming, you know, I mean even more so. And the funny thing is, for next year, your Pluto card is a Seven of Hearts, and the result is the Eight of Hearts. So it's like you've got the question of, you know, have a little faith and love will come to you, you know, type of thing, but you've got the Eight of Hearts as that power card. And it's like, so the result is, it's, I'm going to say, you know, something like, you know, taking your own power back. But we'll talk about that. again. It's like, man, we've got it. And guys, we'll apologize to our you know, people in chat and people on the board here, because it's been, whoops, hang on here, there we go. Yeah, you're making me smile, all right. Blog Talk has had a very interesting thing ongoing, apparently, and it's like they randomly kick people out of chat. They randomly drop people off of the board. So it's like, if you randomly get knocked off, please, by all means, call back in, you know, log back in, whatever it takes. It's like, you know, because Bonnie will tell you, it's like, we don't kick anybody. I don't think anybody's ever been booted off the show, not by us. Any boots have usually been because there's been what we call a Blog Talk technical glitch. So anyway, hang in there. So, yeah. All righty. Was there any question in particular that, you know, that you might have, you know, just with the, because, I mean, this has been kind of fascinating. You probably got a lot more information from Bonnie and the Anthony.
Yeah. Well, you know, right now it's monetarily, and I'm looking to move hopefully by September, but money's got to show up, and I know it will, but, you know.
Right. See, now that's, and that is really interesting, because, like I said, that's, you know, that's a lot of times what fives will show is, you know, they're restless energy, but if you're ever going to do a geographic location, it's usually when fives show up. And you've got, for next year, you've got a Five of Diamonds starting in your Mercury time frame, which is right after your birthday, and it'll be for 52 days. And then you've got a second one. Venus, you get a little bit of a break. You have two very creative cards in there. But Mars, you've also got a Five of Clubs. So it's like, yeah, there is, you know, a lot of restless energy with that. And I would say probably, possibly, most likely that with that restless energy and that being a diamond, it's like if that's going to come forth, it's like it will. It's like the financials will show up after your birthday. That would be the highly most likely time it's going to. Because it's paired with an Ace of Clubs, which is, you know, starting new ventures, but it's new ventures. It's also in communication And actually, like almost in schooling, I want to say that the clubs are like known as the scholars of the deck. And a lot of times you get that energy, and it's like it's either you go back to school or you're teaching something, or, you know, it's like in some way you're communicating with people either what you know or you're learning new things about what you need to know. So it's like, you know, and that's, and it's a short, I'll say it's short-lived because Mercury is usually quick and fast. It's like, you know, the guy with the wings on his feet, you know, type of thing. So it's
yeah,
like whatever happens
I
usually goes quick.
That, and I've done those in the past. I think I'm just not
right.
Stepping into my own like I should be. From what reason,
right.
I do not know.
You know, sometimes it's the confidence issues, and I'll say it's like things from the past that affect us, because, you know, I mean, we can sometimes it takes us a lifetime to get done with the what I'll call the programming that we learned early in
yeah,
life.
Yeah, exactly. It does. And because I've already been to school, I recently got my bachelor's degree in psychology. I have an associate's degree in advertising, graphic design. Angel therapist practitioner, went for that. I mean, I'm always learning something.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's, you know, that is. That's really awesome. That is a lot of things there. So that, and again, so that might be something that it's like, you know, you're either going to be teaching or looking at, or you might be taking, you know, you might be taking some more stuff, so. Awesome, awesome. Okay, well,
right.
we got one more caller here. It's like, thank you for
okay.
coming in. Appreciate it.
All right.
You,
all right. Thank
you. You got to be our, as Bonnie would say, our victim for the day.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Cool.
All righty.
All right, I'll let you go.
All righty, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, and we have a Skype caller here. Okay, hang on, guys. I'm going to say for technical issues because it's doing its whole little spinny moment here. Okay, here we go. Let's see if we can get our Skype caller.
Yes.
There we are. Okay.
You're not a crust fucking slice of pizza.
Say what? Hello? This is our Skype caller. Do you have a question for us? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on air with us. You had your hand up. You had a question. What was your question for today?
I have a friend named Michael, and he's looking for a big ass, and he's really picky. But and I just wanted to know, like, if he'll ever find a loved one.
Okay, so you're asking for him or for you?
For him. His name is
for
Michael.
Him.
Yeah.
Okay. What's his birthday?
Michael. Oh, my
friend? Yeah, what's his, since this is for his question, it's like, I've got to know his birthday for this. When was he
his
born?
His first
like,
name is Michael, and my first name is Dylan.
Okay. What's Michael's birthday?
Birthday?
Yeah.
January 18th, 1970.
18th, okay. Nine of Diamonds. He's got a challenging card because he's got a Nine of Diamonds, but it's also paired with a Four of Hearts, which is the lesser marriage card. Okay, so 1970, and that's your dog, 80, 90. Okay, so he's, let me think here, 80s, 90s, 0, 10. So he's 44 this year?
He's 44.
44. You know what? And this year for him is his what's called his pre-birth year. So it's like this is the year when he's like getting ready to reform his life. It's like at age 45 is called the rebirth year, which is what people often call the midlife crisis. So I'm gonna kind of go out a little bit here and just say probably, you know, it's going to be more highly likely that he's going to not find somebody until after his birthday, okay, after he turns 45, simply because what he's got going on this year is his 44th year. This is like his preparation year, you know, to do things. He's got a Nine of Hearts as a long-range card, so it means there's, in some way, shape, or form, he's completing relationships or he's finishing up relationships. And it's like, he won't be in the same place and space when he starts, you know, from when he started this year, you know, to what's going to happen like next year. Now, what is interesting is he's got the Queen of Hearts, which is the marriage card, as his long range for next year. And of course, you know, a lot of this, it's like free will, right? It's like free will because, you know, it's what people choose. And it's like, you know, when they, I mean, because I can say that, you know, people can have fantastic cards and they shoot themselves in the foot with them. And people can have really like a horrible hand. I mean, it would be like winning the jackpot, you know, if you're playing poker with a pair of deuces because you're a good bluffer. So it just depends on literally how he plays his cards. So it's like this year he's actually, I mean, he's got some good cards. He's got some challenging cards. He's got one here with the Ace of Spades, and that is the card of transformation, and he's got that in the Saturn time frame. So it's like he's going to have a lot of transitions, a lot of changes that are going to be very challenging, very kind of karmic for him. So, I mean, you know, like this year I'm just going to say he's going through a lot. He's going through a lot of changes, a lot of transitions, a lot of things that are going to totally flip for him by the time he starts his 45th year. So it's like, you know, and he's right in the middle of it. I'm going to say probably if he's in January, right at the moment, he's probably in his Saturn time frame, which is he's got the King of Diamonds and the Seven of Hearts. And it's like Saturn is the King of Hearts is a really good one. It's a strong one. It's like it's called the businessman's card. So if he wanted to be in business for himself, you know, he could go for this, but it would also mean he's going to work like no other to do it. With the Seven of Hearts, it's, you know, for him, it's like, you know, have some faith and love will come to you, you know, type of thing. But like I say, there's also this thing where he's going to be, his whole year is going to be completing relationships with people. It's like he's, you know, he's like closing doors or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's, if you think of it like tying the gift bow on top of a package, that's what this whole year is going to be like. It's like he's going to be completing relationships with people. Some of the relationships that, you know, he's either outgrown or they've outgrown him or, you know, whatever. But he's going to kind of start with, you know, finish old relationships, and he's going to be starting new friendships, new relationships, new things like that. And that's what next year, you know, is kind of about, when he makes that whole transition of starting his life anew, because this particular one goes on a 45-year cycle. So it's like this first 45 years he spent on this planet learning things. His second 45 years is, you know, preparing him from 45 to 90 as to where he wants to go, what he wants to do, you know, what things are important to him. And, you know, that's kind of where he's at. So it's like, you know, he's got really good cards, I'll say, for his 45th year for finding that love, for finding someone, you know, he wants to be with. I wouldn't look at it this year because this is the year he's completing and finishing up and kind of figuring out, you know, what he likes, what he doesn't like, you know, that kind of stuff. And he's completing relationships this year. I said, you know, so next year is going to be far better for him in terms of, you know, getting relationships. So it's like after, I'm going to say after his birthday. So that's, you know, if that's in January, it's like, so that's, you know, that's going to be after January. He's got the whole, he's got like six more months to go through of kind of preparation. And it'd be like in gardener terms, it would be like preparing the garden, you know, for planting and that kind of stuff. So it's like when he gets to that 45th year, when he turns 45, he will be ready to start something new. But right now he's in the midst of completing and changing and doing a lot of life changing. And it's like, so when he starts, you know, when he starts in, you know, in January, it's like it'll be a whole different world for him. A whole new world, yeah, like the Aladdin song. Okay.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, or is that, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, where
you're
at.
Yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah, he's on a journey. I'm going to say he's on a journey, and it's like, and that's kind of where he's at and what he's doing. So hope that makes sense, and, you know, and you can call back in, let's see, yeah, tomorrow we're going to have the mother-daughter, like there's a medical intuitive and a gal who does, you know, spirit messages, and then Leslie Journey is on, and she's on the second half. So it's like, yeah, either or. So if you want, you know, want any more confirmation or, you know, anything else or a different question or something like that, it's like call us back tomorrow because we'll be on same time. It's from 1 to 3 Eastern time. So whatever time zone you're in, it's like call us back and let some of these other gals, you know, see what they think too. So they might. Leslie is really good because she has a gift that she's able to pinpoint dates, you know, probably a lot better than the rest of us because that's really a hard one. But, you know, so if you're looking for a specific date for things, she would be a really good one to talk to. So hope that helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you for calling in today.
Thank you so much.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye. All righty. And it's like, do we ever have a medical intuitive? Yes. That's to our question in chat there. Yes, we absolutely do have medical intuitives, and we're having one tomorrow. And I think that's Brenda, and there's her mom, Annabelle, and they are a mother-daughter team. So it's like that's what Bonnie was, and they're going to be the first hour from 1 to 2, and then we're going to have Leslie Journey on, and she will be on from 2 to 3. And, you know, it's kind of nice because usually, and I'm not going to gotta put my neck out on the line too far here, but like a lot of times if we're talking to somebody and we go off air, it's like Leslie will, you know, go ahead and finish up whoever we've got in questions and chat. So, all right. Oh, we've actually got a minute. Wow, this is like totally amazing, guys. It's like got a minute to make some of the announcements. So, yeah, we've got a lot of things happening in the next, like, week or so. I know Bonnie's going to be off a little bit next week. I know Monday's going to be a little bit different schedule. Tuesday is definitely going to be where we're still kind of juggling. So it's like tune in and see who's on because we're not sure yet. It's like, yeah, this is one of those universal moments. Wednesday is going to be Ron and myself. And then Thursday, I believe, we have Laura Perrette, our angel speak healer, is on with us. It's her one Thursday month she's on with us, and she just does phenomenal things. If you guys haven't heard her, check out some of the stuff in archives because she does. We've discovered with what she does, it works even when people listen to the shows in archives. They will get, you know, healings or resolution of issues, you know, that kind of stuff. So, but if you haven't heard her address your specific question, you know, absolutely have her, have her address yours because she does things with a global look to things. And, all right, we are off air. So, have a good one. Thank you, guys.
Bye, Kel. Love you.